This is Bill McClure for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and welcome to another edition of Take My Arm.
This is Sharon Giovinazzo. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is prepared with the assistance of print and visually impaired volunteers.
And this is Bob Martin, and I've got to go to the grocery store a little later, and, well, I'm just a little nervous.
Did you get into an argument with a vegetable?
Or maybe you were threatened by some collard greens.
You guys can make a big joke out of things like that. But the last time my wife sent me to the store, a giant zucchini followed me home.
All the way home?
Well, at least all the way out to my car.
Okay. Tell us what happened.
Well, I had my shopping list and found everything my wife told me to get.
All right. So far.
And then I got up to the checkout stand. That's when things got complicated.
What's complicated about the checkout stand?
Even I have no trouble at the checkout stand.
Me neither.
That's easy for the two of you to say. You don't have to watch what's going on.
One of the blessings of our condition.
Anyway, when I got to the checkout, there was one short line, so I went for it. You see, my wife told me to hurry, and I had already spent a long time in the vegetable section.
So there was an argument.
It wasn't really an argument. It's just that, well, as I walked past the onions, I saw that there were a lot of yellow onions that had rolled over into the red onions. There they were, all mixed up. And obviously, there was someone who didn't want them together.
So what did you do?
I took all of the red onions out of the yellow bin and put them into my shopping cart, and then pushed the cart over a couple of feet and put them all in the bin with the other red onions.
Okay.
But when I stacked them up, some of them rolled back into the yellow bin, and more that had been there before.
So
I backed the cart up again and took the red ones out of the yellow bin and tried to move them back over to where they belonged. Again.
And when you finished, they rolled back into the yellow bin again?
That's right.
Just like Sisyphus.
Who?
Sisyphus.
There's nobody with that name that works in the grocery store. At least I don't think so.
Never mind. Go on.
Well, I don't know why Sharon mentioned him. Maybe he's a new guy. Anyway, after three attempts at keeping them apart, I figured that they just wanted to be together. So I emptied both bins and then rearranged them with red and yellow together in both bins. When I got finished, all the onions looked really happy.
I'm sure they were.
And if this Sisyphus did work there, he would have looked at what I did and then he could have gone home happy.
No doubt.
But what has this got to do with the checkout stand?
Oh, well, after I got finished with the onions, I looked at a clock and saw how late it had gotten to be. So I hurried to the checkout stand. That's when I went for the short line. Remember? I told you that my wife had told me to hurry.
And integrating onions can take a lot of time.
Oh, but it was well worth it. But when I got to the short line, there was a sign that said, 20 items or less.
That shouldn't have been confusing.
Well, it was. Is a dozen eggs one item or 12? Is a six-pack of soda one item or 6? And then there was the zucchini.
Zucchini can be like that.
Sneaky, aren't they? If they were loose and I picked up 6, that could be 6 items. But when I put them in a plastic bag, shouldn't that make them just one item?
So what did you do?
I wanted to obey the sign, but I also needed to hurry.
So?
I went and got another basket and divided up my groceries between the two baskets. But I did it quickly. Remember my wife? She told me to hurry. Now, I had 2 baskets, and neither of them had over 20 items.
And that's how you went through the checkout stand?
No, I didn't have to. Right then, a nice lady named Miss Ann reached over and grabbed my baskets and said, "Here, let me help you." And she did. And I was through the line in no time. My wife would be pleased.
Problem solved, right?
Right. Miss Ann also said that any time I was there and needed help, all I had to do was look for her and she'd take care of my problem.
And so you were able to get home to your wife in a hurry.
Well, almost. See, I realized I had taken longer than I expected, so I raced out to my car, started it up, and pulled out of the parking lot when, I realized I had left my groceries in the store. My wife would not be pleased.
I suspect not.
What was I going to do? I drove around the block and pulled back into the parking lot, because hurrying home wouldn't have helped if I hadn't brought the groceries, and when I looked out of the car window, what do you think I saw?
I couldn't imagine.
There was my zucchini. It had followed me out to the parking lot.
The zucchini was there all by itself.
Oh, no. It had brought along all the rest of my groceries, but the zucchini was looking at me, peeking right over the top of the grocery bag. How did it know?
And where was the bag?
In a shopping cart.
And was anything else with the cart?
Yeah. One of the store employees had a hold of the cart, was trying to keep it from running away. That zucchini wanted to go home with me.
Maybe that was Sisyphus.
Really?
Maybe. Sisyphus could be someone used by the store to push your cart for you. And then he keeps doing it, even if people drive off and leave him standing there. Then he has to take the cart back to the store until you return.
And he keeps pushing carts back and forth.
You never know.
Just for me?
Just for you.
Oh, Sharon.
What? Would I lie to Bob?
Anyway, with all the help you got at the store, why are you nervous about going back?
I'm going back to that store because of Miss Anne. But what if I'm in a hurry and she's not there to help?
If Miss Anne is not there, Myth Sisyphus will be.
Before Bob goes rushing off to the grocery store, we'd like to introduce you to our guest today, the real-life Miss Anne. Since May of 2012, Anne has been the Director of Resource Development and Community Outreach for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And, though sight-impaired, she was a checker on aisle 3 of the Harris Teeter Grocery Store at High House and Highway 55 in Cary. Anne Glasser. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you, Bill.
Tell us a little about yourself.
I love to talk. I love to listen. And I think that because this is about me personally as opposed to all of my work experience, I'm going to go back a little ways and tell you that when I was a little girl at age 5, I wanted to be a nun and a nurse because I knew I'd go to heaven. Well, I'm not a nun and I'm not a nurse and I'm worried. I grew up in upstate New York. I was one of 3 children. I have, thankfully, the 2 best parents in the whole world who had one son who was fully sighted and completely normal, quote unquote, although we always used to tease him about what normal was. And then I came along. I was a preemie, and I had a condition called albinism and hypopigmentation and photophobia. And my parents were told that in order for my retinas to develop fully, that a certain type of lighting environment needed to be created in the home. And my father is a mechanical engineer, and he designed a lighting system. And my mother did all the sewing for the curtains and the different fixtures and things. And by the time I went to kindergarten, my retinas had developed to the fullest extent possible. That said, I did not read a blackboard till I was a senior in high school when I was introduced to low vision equipment. So I did not go to a special school. I did not have any teaching assistant. I learned by listening, and I grew up in a house where feeling sorry for yourself was not allowed at all. My father would say, smile and the world smiles with you. Cry and you will cry by yourself. Well, I don't like being by myself. That's part of the reason why I like TRRS so much. I love connecting. I love being part of a family. And to me, that's what TRRS is. And everybody out there listening is an extension of my family. And family is very important to me. As I mentioned, my parents are 2 really amazing people. My father, from the time we were little, my younger brother, who is no longer with us, but he also was born with the same eye condition, and he had dyslexia on top of the albinism and nystagmus, and he went on and earned a degree in mathematics. He had a tremendous faculty for numbers and for memorization. In fact, we both did. Be careful what you tell me, because I will remember it. More than likely, I will remember. My father used to say to us when we were small, and actually through our growing up years, stand your track, be tough, don't let anything grind you down, and you can do whatever you set your mind to. And to that end, when the boys and I were growing up, I was 8, Joe was 5, Chris was 10, we learned to downhill ski. So downhill skiing for me was like driving, where when I was 16, of course, I didn't get a driver's license, but it didn't matter. I knew that I didn't see well enough to drive, so I knew I wasn't safe. But I went on to college. I started out as a physical therapy major. I had a friend who I was very close to who had bone cancer and passed away when I was in high school, and I just loved him to pieces and wanted to be a physical therapist because he loved his physical therapist. I wound up spending more time in physical therapy than I care to tell you about and decided that wasn't what I wanted to do and wound up graduating with a degree in psychology and public service. And I love to write as much as I love to talk, and so my career path was really all about nonprofit work, grant writing. I started out actually doing social work and volunteer coordination and then moved into development and PR. One of the things I want to mention too about tell me about yourself, you know, we're products of our environment, we're products of our home life, I think oftentimes. And my parents, who I talk about a lot, had a huge, huge role, huge impact on me and on my brothers. And my mother, at age 55, went to ground school and got her private pilot's license, which I think is incredible. She didn't tell anybody that she was doing it. Didn't tell us until she actually handed each of us a picture of her next to an airplane and told us that she had gotten her first set of wings. My father, which I think is hysterical, he went to ground school too, but he didn't go on to get his license. He just wanted to make sure that if he went up, that he could get down. If need be. Anyway, my mother is an amazing person, and my parents have inspired a lot of different things along the way. I write about them. I write about my mother and going to ground school and creating the groundwork for life. And I write about my father, who insisted that we be strong children and young adults and be ready to face whatever kind of challenges and hardships that would lie ahead. And they did a good job with that, because life isn't easy, but it is good. When I hear anyone ever say they're having a bad day or, oh, they had a bad day, you never have a bad day. Every day you have is a good day. You may have a bad moment, but every day is a good day. And my philosophy is every day is a gift. So tell me a little about yourself. That was a lot.
Well, tell me about your educational challenges, Ann.
They were pretty significant in some regards. Grammar school, I was kind of flew through, I guess. I pretty much retained everything that I heard, and I was able to process information well. So math and science I seemed to do well with. But when I went to a Catholic grammar school, went on to high school, and I had difficulty with, I can remember very vividly, geometry. It was one of those life situations where you're really good at something and then all of a sudden you're really not. So I thought I was really good with my 98 on an algebra Regents, New York State Regents exam. And then I got a 65 on the geometry. And that did not make me feel good or happy at all. But much like a lot of my friends here at TRRS, I love music. And I spent every day of high school, 10th grade through 12th grade, in the music wing at Burnt Hills Boston Lake Senior High School, 8th Block Chorus, and drama club, and all the different choirs and things. I'm not a vocalist, I'm a blender. Don't ask me to sing, because you probably will be sorry, but no. I think the challenges were, you know, certainly not being able to read a blackboard was, that ages me, I know, but that was hard. When I was a senior, I was introduced to these two low vision aids, and that made a big difference for me. Probably my biggest challenge was when I was in college, whereas it took my classmates that were fully sighted, you know, a 2-hour block for a biology lab, it took me 4. And I also had orthopedic challenges, so in addition to my low vision aids, I also, for 3.5, I think, of my 5 years in college, had a pair of crutches. and in and out of orthopedic rehab. So there were a lot of challenges and a lot of reasons why my father, being so adamant about not feeling sorry for ourselves when we were kids, paid off. I don't know how I would have gotten through those years without that background. Visually speaking, you know, in college there was so much, you know, so much work to do, and I of course wanted A's. But I learned along the way that having A's wasn't everything. Doing your best, giving it your best shot, was the most important thing. So I graduated with a 3.2, not a 4.0, but I was happy. We all were happy. We were all singing the Hallelujah Chorus, still are. I'm very grateful.
When you were in college, did you use any modifiers to help you with your low vision?
Well, I had my low vision glasses, of course, and then I had a box full of all kinds of magnifying glasses and things. I had my telescope for distance for a biology lab. I had a great big huge magnifying glass.
Now, how did you handle reading your material? Did you use student readers, or were you able to read your own material?
I read my own material. I did in physics and in organic chemistry have some assistance with reading, because I didn't have any large print books, mm-hmm. and so equations and things and exponents were very difficult for me to read, even with special low vision aids. The teachers were very good, but I think that because I didn't have assistants in school when I was growing up, there weren't any teaching assistants back then. I mean, I had my parents. They were great at night. They would help with homework. That being said, they would help as long as I didn't cry. If I got frustrated, my father would say, all right, well, can't do any more, especially with like a math problem or whatever. There was no boo-hooing.
Well, tell us about your work experience.
Well, I think that I have been incredibly blessed with a wonderful, wonderful career. I started working at the Northeastern Association of the Blind in Albany. I had a wonderful job. I was a community services specialist, and I coordinated volunteers and information referral, casework services for folks in the industrial sewing workshop. And it was a wonderful learning ground. I worked there for 7 years, and then I became an executive director of a hospital foundation. And at that point, I was clearly doing a lot of fundraising. We did a capital campaign there, and then I went on to work for Albany College of Pharmacy. And I did everything there from the annual fund to reunion weekends and president's reports. Thoroughly enjoyed my work. And when I came to North Carolina, it took about a year, but I went to work for the Food Bank of North Carolina. I was hired to help finish a capital campaign that was quite well along, and do government and public relations. And then I had a consulting business. And then I worked for the American Academy of Pharmaceutical Physicians. I ran the national office, worked briefly for Triangle Family Services, and then the Foundation Fighting Blindness. I worked for them for 3 years, and I covered the Southern United States. I did chapter development and major gift fundraising. And then I've actually worked in a local Harris Teeter.
How about your hobbies?
I write. I do my inspirational essays, which I hope to publish. I have, for the last 3 years especially, been very involved with the Friends of the Library for the Blind and with the Center for Volunteer Caregiving. So teaching, I guess, is kind of a hobby, teaching people how to do fundraising, that kind of thing. That's a hobby.
Are you an active TRRS listener?
I'm becoming an active TRRS listener. You know, it's interesting because I am able to read the newspaper. And I was actually introduced to this type of service when I lived up in New York, and WMHT has a radio information service called RISE, and Radio Information Service Enterprise, I think that stood for. And I think back in my earlier years, rejected having an outside source, if you will, provide something that I felt like I needed to do or should do myself. So I always just read the newspaper. But what I'm finding is that plugging into TRRS and listening to the programs is very relaxing and therapeutic, and it's connecting. It's nice.
Do you have anything else, Anne, that you'd like to say to our listeners?
One of the things for a successful life is being grateful and thankful for all the blessings that you have in it, starting with in the morning that you woke up, followed by the fact that you have teeth to brush and hopefully toothpaste to brush them with. There's the roof over the head, and there's food on the table, and I hope you all are blessed with someone to love.
Thank you for being our guest today on Take My Arm.
Well, thank you, Bill. My pleasure.
This is Jennifer Sullender.
It is time again for the Triangle Reading Service Theater on the air with another episode of
Blind Justice.
With Bill McClure, Ann Glasser, Jennifer Sullender, Bertha Martin, Mae Tran, Kimberly McClure, and Bob Martin. Bill and Jennifer are on their way to the grocery store. I know we needed to go to the grocery store, Bill, but why are we going way across town instead of going to a store close to your home?
Because this is the store where Miss Ann is working.
Ann Glasser?
That's right.
Is she a greeter?
No, she's the checker in line 3.
But isn't she sight impaired?
Sand your tracks, Jennifer.
What?
That's a Miss Ann expression.
But what does it mean?
It's an old railroad expression. Locomotives used to carry a load of sand with them, and if the wheels started to slip so the train was losing traction, the engineer would sand the tracks, and the wheels got a better grip.
I knew the railroad application, but what has it got to do with Miss Ann?
It doesn't have anything to do with her. It has to do with your question.
She is sight impaired, isn't she?
Yes, but are you then assuming that she can't be a checker?
I just thought that it might be a little difficult.
Remember Dr. Bulletin? Just because a person can't use their eyes, it doesn't mean that they can't use their brain.
I know that, but...
But sometimes you think it might not apply.
Well, sometimes it doesn't.
All right, maybe I can't drive a car. Yet. But remember all the people we've talked with who have been sight impaired, and remember all the things they have been able to accomplish? Teachers and counselors and business executives.
And piano tuners?
Thank you. And bowlers. If a man can run a power saw without being able to see, what makes you think someone couldn't be a supermarket cashier?
I know what you mean.
Weren't you going to say, I see what you mean?
I guess so.
So, sand your tracks, and don't be afraid to say it.
Well, here we are. Where's Miss Ann?
She's right over there.
What?
Where the crowd is.
How do you know where the crowd is?
I told you she's the checker on line 3. I know where line 3 is, and I can hear the crowd.
Why is there such a long line at her register?
I'll tell you one thing. It's not because she's slow. A lot of people come to this store just to visit a little with her. Watch a minute.
Miss Ann, tomatoes?
Vine Ripe or Hot House?
Hot House!
4064. Anything in the bottom of the basket?
No, that's all.
Any coupons?
Not today.
That's $9.22.
Out of 10. And I wanted to tell you, my granddaughter received a citizenship award at her school.
You make sure to tell her how proud I am of her, and tell her to keep up the good work. Here's your change. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, Miss Ann.
Hello, May. How are things today?
I'm all right, but my next-door neighbor just lost his job, and I don't know what to say to him.
Well, from my own personal experience, when you lose a job, you lose a part of your own identity and you feel angry and frustrated. Sometimes you have to face the fact that a previous way of life is gone forever. You're not going to be doing what you did before. You have to reinvent yourself, open yourself to new possibilities. You are who you are, no matter what job you do.
Miss Ann, cucumbers!
4062. Look at me, May. I never dreamed that I'd be a checker at a grocery store, but here I am, reinvented and proud of myself. I started out here as a bagger, and now I'm the only legally blind cashier in the county. Any coupons?
No, that's it.
$10.42 out of 20. Here's your change. And tell your friend not to get left behind by bitterness and frustration. Go ahead. Get ahead. Bye, May.
Bye, Miss Ann.
Hello, Miss Ann.
Hello, Bill.
How are you, Miss Ann?
And Jennifer, what can I do to help you?
Where's the pancake mix?
It's right over there.
Very funny.
Somebody was going to say that to you today. It might as well be me. Aisle 7, halfway down on the right, middle shelf.
I'll make sure he finds it.
I wouldn't kid like that with him if you weren't here, Jennifer.
We'll be right back. Don't forget us now. We'll be right back. Don't forget us now.
I'm sorry, sir. Do I know you?
Come on, Bill.
Miss Ann? Asparagus!
4080.
Here's the pancake section, Bill. Did you want regular or buttermilk?
Buttermilk. And some blueberry syrup, if it's close.
Right next to it. Anything else?
No, that will do it.
Is Anne that friendly with everyone?
She sure is. She always has a congratulations for anybody who deserves it. And when she says that she's proud of you, she means it.
Like that woman sharing about an accomplishment for her granddaughter?
That's right. And a word of advice for someone who needs it. People just feel like she's one of the family. Tell her anything, and she understands.
That lady who just left the checkout counter. Anne gave her a piece of paper, and the lady went over to the bench, sat down, and is reading the paper. What is that all about?
Anne also writes little stories. Several people come in and ask about a thought for the day, and she has one for them.
Better than a cup of tea.
Much better. Well, Anne, here we are.
Find the pancake mix okay?
Yep, and syrup to go with it.
How about $5.27?
Here you are. And I also have my new computer up and running.
And you were all nervous about it. I told you that you could do it. I have confidence in you. Here's your change.
I'll send you an email of my progress.
I'll be waiting.
Miss Ann, I need your help quickly.
Calm down, Bob. What can I do to help you?
Well, my wife sent me down to the store to get something, and, well, I can't remember what it is that she sent me after.
Don't worry, Bob. It's right over there.
Oh, thank you. I'll be right back. What are you doing to that poor guy?
Just wait.
Miss Ann, I got right over there, but when I got over there, I couldn't remember what it is that is right over there. What am I looking for?
Not to worry. I've got it right here waiting for you.
Oh, thanks. But how did you know what it was that I would need?
Sand your tracks, Bob. Your wife called me.
Oh, thank you. But if you don't mind, when I get home, I'll just tell her that I've found them all by myself.
Miss Ann, kiwis!
4030.
And so ends another episode of...
Blind Justice.
You know something? We have the most amazing luck here at the Triangle Radio Reading Service.
How's that, Bob?
Look at all the years that we had Linda Orndt here as our director, and all the things that we were able to do under her leadership.
We grew from a beginning operation reading newspapers to a 24-hour-a-day broadcasting network that brought all sorts of innovations and new kinds of programming to our listeners.
And when Linda retired, May Tran became our new director, and Ann Glasser became the director of resource development and community outreach. We're looking at new ways to improve our services.
And we're using the talents of more people who are print and visually impaired to do it.
You know something, Sharon?
What's that?
I'm glad to hear just plain Bill said what he did. But I think it would be special if we had Dr. Bill give us some of his insights.
I heard that, and I agree. Let's contact Dr. Bill.
It's time for Insights with Dr. Bill.
This is Dr. Bill. Tell me, what's on your mind?
Dr. Bill, we just had an interview with Ann Glasser, who joined our staff a while ago. Do you know what she was able to do?
I think Bob means Ann working as a supermarket checker.
And according to her, the first sight-impaired grocery store checker in the country. And she had fun doing it.
When I go into a grocery store, I'm always asking a clerk where to find something. Once, I even needed to ask Ann.
So did I.
Do you think that happens a lot to her?
Yes, it does. And she doesn't just point and say, "It's right over there." She told me of a little story that she wrote about just such an occurrence.
While serving as a cheerful cashier in Lane 3 at our local Harris Teeter, I noticed a customer in the center aisle looking somewhat bewildered as she held a cardboard box cover and seemed to be scanning the store signage. I asked if I could assist her, and she said, "My daughter bought these pastries for me a week ago, and I really like them. Do you know where I can find some more?" Of course, any cashier worth her weight knows where every item in the store is at any given time, so I told the lady that I would gladly find the item and bring it to her. I've seen this particular customer several times before. Although she carries an oxygen tank in her cart, she's very independent and clearly is happy to be out and about. She's one of the reasons that I love my job. Having said that I would find the pastry, I set out, as I always do, a quick prayer, and then begins the search. It is best for me if whatever I'm looking for is at eye level, within my range of vision, and preferably with bold colors. My prayer was answered again. I walked down the central aisle to the frozen foods, made a left turn, and walked, quite literally, into the particular pastry that my customer wanted. With my frozen pastry in hand, I went in search of my customer. And I searched and I searched. Our store is not that big, but I do have a problem seeing all the way down an aisle. But how is it that finding a pastry was easier than finding an elderly woman with an oxygen tank in her cart? I often identify people and things by shape, size, and color. I forgave myself a little for the difficulty in finding her, as she had a gray shopping cart, gray hair, a gray coat, and a gray oxygen tank. She very likely had pink lipstick, but that's a detail that I cannot see from a distance, but do appreciate when I am close up. As I rushed past the meat department, one of my coworkers asked me what I was looking for. I answered, "Not what, but who." He asked me to describe her, which I did, and we found her within seconds. Mission completed with the kind assistance of a friend. My customer was happy, my coworker was happy, I was happy, and I know that God was happy. Here was one of those instances where I might have experienced frustration and irritation with myself for not being able to see well. Instead, faith and humor prevailed. I am blessed and firmly convinced that whenever I have a need and ask, something will happen, because God does not take naps.
We were also thinking about the luck our radio station has had with the kinds of people that have worked on our executive staff.
I couldn't agree more. Just plain Bill had been part of the reading service for years, and he's told me about the work that has been done here.
With May and Ann now, and Linda Orndt before them, going right back to the beginning with Ed Funkhauser and Ben Eason and Bob Krueger.
Where would the reading service be without all of them?
Nowhere. It's just like a very famous man once taught me. I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I'm gonna be. I ain't what I want to be. But thank God, I ain't what I used to be.
Going on from that, TRRS recently celebrated its gala, and I had a chance to speak with some of the people involved.
We just finished our gala fundraising event, and we have with us a few of the people that made it possible. Our executive director, May Tran, the head of community outreach, Ann Arella, our volunteer coordinator, Sandy DeLuca, and this year's master of ceremonies, Wayne Wagner. May, this was your first year as director for the gala. How did things go?
It was fabulous. We had 136 people for that evening, including all LCB, Friends of the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Learning Ally, DAR, Division of Social Services for the Blind, Friends, the Reading Service, and our volunteers. It was such an event. Everyone showed up happy, enjoying themselves, and to honor our co-founders, Mr. Ben Eason and Dr. Edward Funkhauser. And also, we honor Bob Kruger, our 27-year volunteer. And I'm so pleased with our gala committee members for putting such a beautiful decoration around the room and the bundles, and everything was just absolutely beautiful. I'm so happy and very, very pleased with this year's event.
And starting with this success, what are the plans for next year?
Well, I think starting with success is really about defining what success is, I think, in terms of the mission of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And that's all about connecting people with news, information, and resources. And I think we did a great job at the gala with really connecting a lot of new people, a lot of new information, and a lot of new resources. Connections have everything to do with corporate sponsors at this point. Corporate sponsors include corporations, but they this year also include some civic and fraternal organizations, which is really exciting because these are the organizations that support Triangle Radio Reading Service on an annual basis. I'd like to announce these to y'all, and these are companies and groups that all of us should be grateful to and also support. Wells Fargo was our $5,000 broadcast sponsor this year, our signature sponsor, and we are incredibly grateful. We also have sponsorships from Aluminum Company of North Carolina, Durham Lions Club. They are great. All the Lions Clubs are great. We're very grateful to Durham Lions Club for supporting us. Learning Ally, formerly Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, they supported us at the corporate sponsorship level as well. Capital Broadcasting Company, back this year again. Springmore Retirement Community, iCare Associates here in Raleigh. And then we had George Douglas, Sandy DeLuca, James Benton, and Richard Dunnigan, and the Raleigh Lions Clinic for the Blind, RLCB, as well. So going forward, it's building upon all of that.
Sandy, you were chairman of the committee. Could you tell us a little bit of the process you went through?
All right. I'd be glad to tell you. And actually, this was my first year being involved with the actual planning of the gala event. When I was asked to be chairperson of the committee, I thought later I probably didn't know what I was getting myself in for. But I think it turned out well. What we did was we gathered people to be on the committee. And then we started meeting. We met several months, once a month, and then we started meeting every Thursday morning, making all of the plans for the event itself. I think the big piece of that was that we had a great group of volunteers to help with all of the planning. That helped make it a successful event.
Since you're also sight impaired, I'd like to ask what you thought of the feature we started just last year, the dessert in the dark.
I think the dessert in the dark is a very good piece for those who are not visually impaired because it gives them an opportunity to have a little bit of a feel for what it's like not to have vision. Those of us who go through this every day, you know, we've learned to deal with that. But it's really an eye-opener for those who have good vision. They have a little bit of a chance to see what it's like.
But after the evening, they can take off their blindfolds. We can't.
That's right. They can take those off, and then they can do just fine. They've got their vision back, but that's not the case with those who are visually impaired or totally blind.
Wayne, this was actually the first gala that you have attended.
What did you think of the evening?
I look at the value I saw from this event from two different perspectives. One, obviously, from being in front of everybody, being the master of ceremonies, a position which I was very honored to have. I've had the opportunity, while not being at this particular gala for more than one time, at being at others, both in Atlanta and in Washington, D.C., I have never seen the enthusiasm that I saw or that day. I saw the enthusiasm from people who were leading. I saw the enthusiasm from people who were certainly customers of our product. And I saw tremendous enthusiasm from those who actually supported it. From somebody who has simply been there for once, I saw electricity. I was only a little disappointed because we were going behind, which was my fault more than anybody else's. And during the dessert, we did not have an opportunity, really, to put on our blindfolds to truly understand for just a small moment what it was like to go ahead and be visually challenged and sit there and eat something that's very basic to all of us. So, put an end to this whole thing. I'm appreciative of having the opportunity to do that, and believe me, I'll be first in line from now on at every gala event here.
Any final thoughts?
I would just want to say that because we're already thinking about next year, you start planning the next minute after an event's over, we're really hoping that all of you out there will start thinking about the second annual Pearls of Passion Gala, too.
Yes, please. We would love to see more friends of the Triangle Radio Reading Service come and celebrate with us.
We'll post information as it becomes available. We'll keep you informed. And thank you. Thank you all very much for your continued support.
And thank all of you for making it happen. And thank you for telling me what's on your mind.
And so ends another episode of Insights with Dr. Bill. It's time again for the TRRS Radio Theater on the Air with Bill McClure, Richard Dunnigan, May Tran, Abby Lewis, and Bob Martin with another episode of Blind Justice. The scene opens at the TRRS Gala, the annual celebration of another year of service and the major fundraising event for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Dessert is about to be served. May Tran is addressing the gathering.
Well, have you enjoyed yourself this evening? I certainly have enjoyed myself and enjoyed seeing so many of you here tonight. This is the main fundraising event of our year, and the number of people that have come tonight is certainly a sign of the support that you are offering to make our services continue for another year.
What services are those, May?
Come on, you know this phrase as well as I do. These services are intended for the print and visually impaired audience.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Bob, look, shiny thing.
Where?
Come on, folks. Tell him what he's been missing.
This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience.
And those programs wouldn't continue without your support. So thank you. Tonight, we would like to announce a new program on our schedule for this year. And I'm going to ask the president of our board, Richard Dunnigan, to tell you all about it. Richard?
Thank you. We've taken what I think is a big step forward in our programming with a segment that we've entitled Take My Arm. Not only are we reading to our sight-impaired listeners, we are making use of many of their talents in the production and broadcast of this show. So as you have heard, we are now able to introduce a program that is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is being prepared with the assistance of print and visually impaired volunteers. Thank you. Now, as to the title of the program, some sight-impaired people use white canes. Some use guide dogs. But at one time or another, most make use of a sighted guide. The title refers to the proper way in which that guide assists a blind person. You don't grab them and move them around. You offer them your arm and let them follow you. And as you do,
This will lead you into the life experience of the sight impaired, sometimes humorously, sometimes very seriously. I hope we've piqued your interest, both to listen in and to possibly help underwrite the continuation of this program. Thank you. And now on with our program. I've asked Bill McClure, one of the co-hosts of the Take My Arm program, to tell you about dessert.
Thank you. We are going to do a little something different tonight. It's called Dessert in the Dark. There's a blindfold on the table that we would like you to put on before dessert is served. We hope that this will give you a little feeling of what it's like to be sight impaired at the dinner table.
I think you might be a little surprised at the experience. Consider it a kind of contest.
No fair. Bill's been practicing.
From the size of me, I've gotten pretty good at it, too.
What's the dessert going to be?
It's German chocolate cake.
Oh, did someone tell you in advance?
Just smell it, and then taste. Remember what Dr. Bulletin said? Well, it also applies here. Just because a person can't see doesn't mean that he can't smell or taste. Enjoy.
Blindfolds off now. Well, how was that?
I didn't see any difference.
You didn't? Well, it certainly was different for me. Maybe your blindfold wasn't tight. Well, wait a minute. Did you not use a blindfold?
Bob, remind me to set you up with an appointment with Dr. Bill.
Except for Bob, we hope this little experience will give you a little better feeling of what a sight-impaired person deals with in daily life and succeeds.
My plate is cleared.
Mine too, and I don't remember eating all of it.
Don't ask, don't tell.
No, do ask about blindness and tell what the sight-impaired are capable of doing. Far better than what we might have expected. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the evening. Well, Bill, what do you think?
I think that this has been one of the best galas we've ever had.
It's certainly been one of our best attended.
I think that people are looking forward to every episode of Take My Arm.
Yes, they are. And what about the dessert in the dark? Do you think that worked? Did people get some slight sense of what it's like to sit down to eat and not be able to see anything, let alone go through all of their life like that?
Richard, I had one thought. And please, don't take this as a criticism. At the end of the dessert, when you told everyone, okay, take off your blindfolds, they could do it. I can't. I'm not sure there is anything that can prepare someone for that.
I know. But I believe that at every step, any little sharing of the experience of what you go through all the time, the beginning of the slightest understanding, it makes a difference.
Or at least can.
You're right. Or at least can.
Is this the first time you've ever done something like this?
Yes, it is. And it did make a difference for me. And when I took off my blindfold, I saw something that I hadn't seen before.
What was that?
That I had chocolate all over my necktie. And so did several other people. But you didn't.
Richard, all you need is a little more practice.
Would you settle for another dessert?
Do I have to put on the blindfold again?
Not this time. This dessert doesn't need a blindfold.
Grandpa, I'm here.
Abby, good to see you. Wait, where is she going?
To make a much bigger difference than a blindfold.
You see beauty in the fragrance of the flowers when they bloom. You see brightness in the sunshine as it warms your face in June. You hear laughter in the children and you see their beaming smiles. You see friendship when you talk with me a while. You can see the good in people when I only see skin deep. You see the need that's often hidden in the people that you meet. Just because I view the world with such different eyes than you doesn't mean that I can see more than you do. Would you help me to see the world like
So ends another episode of Blind Justice. Conversations. The voices of TRRS.
We have with us today one of our tech committee, Mike Stevens. Mike, so let's start out and have you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Bob, I grew up in the Raleigh area, have lived here the majority of my life, have worked with computers since the year 2000, and have worked with the Red Triangle Radio Reading Service for 6 or 7 years.
How did you become involved with the TRRS program?
I'm friends with Richard Pascal. We both play guitar and play guitar together every week. I have been doing that for years. And Richard, I work with computers. That's my day job. Richard realized I had some skills they could use. I would help him over the phone now and then. One night, I came up here to help him with an issue he was having, and I've been coming since. That's been, again, around 6 or 7 years ago.
I know that you just came out of a tech committee meeting. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what kind of things do you do in the meeting? What are we looking forward to?
We actually are having a big month. We've just got 3 office computers from a grant, finishing putting in the 3rd one. We are getting ready to install new software in the radio station that will run the broadcast, etc. Radio stations today are 99% run by computers. This will be a big change to the people that read for the radio station and to the people that listen, but in the background there are going to be some major changes. We have been spending months planning on this, in the final planning stages now.
And about when will this project be ready to go online?
I'm guessing a month or two. We will run the old system along with the new one for at least a month before going totally to the new system to work out any issues that we have with the new system.
And when this system is in, is it going to make it easier for people like me?
Hopefully. It will be, for the most part, seamless to those that read you, and definitely to the listeners. They will not notice any difference.
Can you describe a little bit about what will happen with this new program? Just, if you could, too, put yourself in my place of someone that would be recording it, what might I be looking for that would be different?
Well, one, you would be on a new computer. We will get new hardware with this. Possibly the mixing boards may be new as well. We are still looking at that. If we were to get new mixing boards, they would have more features, but you would probably still, as today, use only a few buttons on them most of the time. Editing software, the way it is edited, probably will not change. The way the edited files are saved will change, but that hopefully will be seamless to most people. If it's not seamless, we haven't done our job correctly.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Bob, and for allowing me to speak to our readers.
Do we have time for a visit with Professor Ville?
It's time now for Outside the Box with Professor Bill. The problem. A while back, we gave you the puzzle of decoding O, T, T, F, F, S, S, E, N, and T. We have another one for you. M, T, W, T, F, S, and...
Got it! They don't stand for letters. They stand for numbers. So, million, trillion, wazillion, tetragillion.
There's no such thing as a wazillion. And tetragillion?
They just don't have the bills printed up yet.
Bob.
Okay, so that doesn't work. But it worked the last time.
Not every solution works exactly the same way in different circumstances. You put mayonnaise on your bread to make a sandwich. Do you put it on the pasta to make lasagna?
I don't know. Might work. Tonight, I think I'll have the mac and mayo.
If you'd like, I'll have the cooking show whip you up some.
On second thought, never mind.
Think dates.
Dates. Okay. Monica, Teresa, Wendy, Trudy, Fran, Sally, and Shirley. Ha ha! The next letter is S.
How can you come up with the right answer for the wrong reason? Try the days of the week.
Good idea. Then I won't forget which girl I'm going out with on that night.
Forget the girls. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and, yes, Sunday. The last letter is S.
I was right.
Another solution, thanks to creative thinking from... Outside the Box.
Some final thoughts.
The following are by Plato. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle.
Ignorance, the root and stem of every evil.
Never discourage anyone who continually makes progress, no matter how slowly.
This is Bill McClure for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, thanking you for listening in to another edition of Take My Arm.
And this is Sharon Giovinazzo. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is created with the assistance of print and visually impaired volunteers.
And this is Bob Martin. If you have enjoyed this program, please call us and just tell us about it. Our number is 919-832-5138.
Also, if you could assist us in helping to underwrite our programming, please call us. Again, the number is 919-832-5138.
It is the backing of our considerate sponsors and listeners that keeps us on the air. Thank you.
Until next week.
Goodbye.